who said Gambians are not happy? Gambians are happy and they are confident in the government of President Adama Barrow. That is why in the last elections, 53% voted for him.
Imagine a country that escapes 22 years of dictatorship, only to find itself spiraling back into distrust and disillusionment.
President Adama Barrow's government says that it is listening to the people, but the Gambians fear that he is following into the footsteps of former President Yahya Jammeh.
Barrow will gradually become Jammeh, because Jammeh did not start in 1994. He did not start in 2021. He grew up, and then people made him who he is.
The minister saying one thing, the people saying another. So is the minister being honest about the state of his nation, or is it just a few people discontented?
The problem is not with the people. The problem is with the government and people who represent the government.
And as the government led the Gambia into a new chapter, or it is a new version of the old story. I'm George Okachi, and this is Under the Baobab.
And my name is Mimi Mefonewu. Under the Baobab, we make sure that we break down complex issues and we make them personal.
Now, today we shine the spotlight on the Gambia, West Africa's smallest nation, I should say.
That's right, George. We are thrilled to have Dr. Ismaila Cisse with us. He is Gambia's Minister of Information and he is like the main spokesperson for the government. He is the confidant of President Adama Barrow. You know what confidant means? It means he knows he's in and out. That's what it means.
Definitely. And let's take you a bit back before we get into the minister's conversation. When Yahya Jammeh stepped down as president in 2017, it marked not just the end of 22 years of dictatorship, but the start of a hopeful new chapter for the people of Gambia.
But people were looking to President Adama Barrow when he came in 2017 to help heal the country, create opportunities, tackle corruption, and build a stronger democracy in the Gambia.
Yeah, but 8 years down the line, people are still protesting. People are frustrated. Mm-hmm. There is anger, even though the minister is saying that Gambians are happy. So it begs the question, what is happening?
So you imagine a president who comes with the big promises and delivers so little. That's the question I asked Dr. Cecil, whether does he think that President Adama Barrow has lived up to that promise, the promises that his government, that President Barrow, made?
Yes, of course. The president has lived up to that promise. The promise were that we'll do reforms, we'll do legal reforms, we'll do institutional reforms. Remember, this came at the back of a 22-year dictatorship. And transitions from autocracy to democracy, as experience has shown, is always fraught with serious challenges. And I think by far we have had one of the most successful transitions in the continent. Mm-hmm. Now, we have created new institutions. We started with the TRRC, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, so the nation can heal, so we can unearth the truth, what happened during the dark days of Yahya Jammeh. So we can learn from the past and path a way forward. The TRRC recommendations were over 290 recommendations. Over 260 recommendations, and government accepted almost all the recommendations. And these recommendations fundamentally focus on building institutions that can provide accountability and transparency, but also discourage impunity. Now, we've gone so far. We've held an election, free, fair, peaceful election in 2021. We've seen the freedom of the press now as compared to before. We've seen a proliferation of media houses in this country. Human rights as well. There are no violations anymore. People are free to speak their mind. We've got now there's inclusion, that there are democratic freedoms have political freedoms have expanded. So I think by and large, we've done quite a few. We have also invested so much in building infrastructure. We have also expanded electricity access. We have modernized in our T&D grid. Economically, we have done well. We've brought down inflation from 17% last year to now 7.2%.
Why would the Gambians not be happy when you are doing and achieving all of these things that you've just mentioned?
We are not downplaying. Even if it's one Gambian who is not happy, we are worried as a government. We want every Gambian to be happy. But what I'm just trying to get across is that a few hundred people coming out to express displeasure and express their and calling for accountability does not reflect the mood of the entire nation. By and large, Gambians are happy with the president. Ghanaians are happy with the government because of the investments we have done in empowering women and youth.
So sometimes, Josh, when you listen to members of government, sometimes the way they defend their presidents, their leaders, it sounds like those who are complaining, they are just complaining for no reason.
Mimi, you must appreciate they have a job to do. They are elected to do that job, and that is to defend their position, that we are actually living up to your expectations, what you elected us to do, we are doing it. And in fact, we are over exceeding the expectation. And you hear him say, if only a few hundreds are protesting, it is not a representative of the entire nation.
According to the minister, it's just a few hundred, but we can see that many people are not happy. And it's not just talk. People are really out there, George, risking the arrest and making sure that their voices are heard because they are not happy about the way things are being run in the country, the way things are going within the government. The government is saying they are doing this, but they are not seeing the reality on the ground doesn't reflect what the government is saying.
So the Gambians, what's behind the anger, some Gambians recently took to the streets to demand transparency of what's happening to former President Yahya Jammeh's wealth. Now, they are worried, the Gambians are worried, that instead of returning his assets to the public, the government is instead quietly selling them off to insiders.
Insiders are the members of the government. You can see the protesters on the streets.
Yes.
And that's what's been happening for months now in the Gambia. So when they say insiders, do they mean members of the government?
Mimi, we're talking about over $360 million of assets, that at least 360, because it could be more.
Yes, there are reports that the money is more. The money that was embezzled by the former president, Yahya Jammeh, is a lot more than that.
But that's not the only reason why Gambians are angry.
Yes, let's not also forget the 2022 children's medicine tragedy, where we saw over 70 kids dying because of contaminated cough syrup that came all the way from India. And families that were affected by this tragedy, they've never had justice, and all of them have never been compensated.
Mimi, when I reported this story, when it first broke, I immediately went to the shelf because I have kids anyway, and I was just looking at the batch number of the cough syrup that I could be giving my kids, because it's really worrying.
Yeah.
And if you talk about parents who've not had closure to their 70
children who died because they took medications that they believed that was going to cure them.
It totally justifies why they should be angry with the government and to demand accountability. And also, there is the issue of the Gambia's Port Authority staggering $300 million embezzlement case. And after all the investigations, there is still no accountability. But Mimi, beyond all, you know, these issues, what's the minister's response to, you know, why people, even if he is calling them hundreds of people, why are they on the streets? What is his response?
Also, I asked the minister whether the Barrow government has been keen on suppressing discontentment, or are they really listening to what the people are saying, their demands? This is what he told us.
I mean, you've seen the images. That is not more than 500, 600 people came out to protest. However, when it comes to the arrests, security agents, as compared to the past, are not arresting people arbitrarily anymore. The country has laws. That's what they call the Public Order Act. If you want to demonstrate and have a public procession, you must have a permit so the police can protect you, but also protect lives and property. The people who came out at that time had no permit to go out and protest, so the police had to do their job. There is an operational issue of the police. But recently, when they applied for a permit and permit was duly given to them, nobody was arrested. You saw how peaceful the protests were. They came out, they marched, they acted within the parameters of the law. In fact, they violated.
Mr. Minister, you agree with me that protest is fundamental rights for citizens, especially when the protest is peaceful, right?
In
accordance with the law. And according to you, don't you think that they have a point, or there's no reason? Do you think there's no reason for them to be angry at all? Don't you think you did something wrong at some point as a government?
Like I said, protest itself is part of political participation. And I think they have a right as citizens to express their displeasure. That is why government sent a representative to take their petitions, and government is considering their petitions. Every Gambian for us matters. Even if it's one Gambian who came out to protest, we as a government must listen to that Gambian. That is why we are taking their demands very seriously. We have handed them over to the office of the president, and we'll see our government and look at their demands. And in fact, most of the things they are demanding They are already on course.
Should you be confronting the people that you are supposed to be leading? Because even if you arrest an individual or 10 people or 20 people, that is already a confrontation. Should you be doing that instead of leading them?
It is not. I can tell you that currently the Gambia, the climate is one of the most peaceful in the continent in terms of human rights. There are no human rights abuses. There are no arbitrary arrests. Journalists operate freely to the extent of even insulting the president and the government, and nobody is arrested. People go home and sleep and say whatever they want to say. There are nothing like human rights abuses. That is anything of the past. But there are laws in this country. And if everybody violates the law must take its course. We cannot allow anarchy and lawlessness in the country. We have a peace to preserve. So if people break the law and they are arrested, it doesn't mean that their rights are violated. Their rights were respected because in line with the law, they were released within 72 hours. That is what the law says. So rule of law is really existing in this country. So there are no arbitrary arrests. Journalists are not intimidated anymore. People don't disappear. There are no enforced disappearances anymore. There are no torture chambers anymore. Since president came to power, no journalist has been jailed in this country or taken to prison in this country and in prison for doing their job. So that is a plus. And I think by all indicators across the continent, it has shown that Gambia has really transitioned from a truly autocratic society to a truly democratic society. I think that has
but,
to be given to us.
But Mr. Minister, when you summon journalists to your office or when you summon journalists because they have said this on air or written that, is that not an intimidation tactic, even if they are not arrested?
It is not. I mean, if a journalist writes something which is a representation of the facts, we have a right to protest. Verbally to say we're not happy with this particular headline because it is misrepresenting the facts. Anybody, any government can do that.
So he says that when the Gambians go to sleep, yes, they are very happy people. Nothing is wrong in the country.
Yeah, they're
all
so
is
happy.
Well.
All is well. And for me, what triggered, some sort of it provoked me in some way. Him saying that summoning a journalist is not like a way of intimidating. I like the question actually, Mimi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you summon me, it means that.
You're trying to tell me not to do my job.
Yeah,
I should be careful because someone is watching.
Or even controlling how I should be doing
right.
my job.
Right. Yeah. And we had to also fact check because we make sure that under the Baobab, we fact check what the authorities that we are talking to are also saying. So we can confirm that two journalists were arrested and charged with false publication against the president of the Gambia. So what the minister is saying is not factual to say that no journalist has been arrested.
And suffice to say, this minister, he summoned a journalist, and I was just saying it. It was a journalist from the Voice newspaper alongside the Gambian Press Union and also the newspapers publication association of a report of government corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when the minister is saying one thing, we are seeing another when it comes to the reality on the ground. So the question is, what are the Gambians themselves saying about the state of the nation, the political situation in the country? So our correspondent, Aminata Sanyang, took to the streets of Banjul and spoke to the Gambians.
Baro will gradually become Jame, because Jame did not start in 1994. He did not start in 2021. He grew up, and then people made him who he is, just like how people are entertaining and accepting the abnormalities in the Baro government, and gradually he may become one of the Gambian. Even an ordinary Gambian in Basse knows that the government is not going right, and then people are very angry because our expectations are not met.
Gambians have a lot of things to be angry about, right? Also, we still have legacies of the 22-year regime of Yahya Jammeh. So if ministers, like I said, custodians of the law, could sit and see that these same laws which they swore to safeguard are being, in fact, weaponized against the very citizens that it should serve, then the problem is not with the people. The problem is with the government and people who represent the government in perpetuating such violence, such negative connotations, and such promotion of violation of people's rights.
Yeah, for most of us as Gambians, we had anticipated positive change in 2016, 2017, and we found ourselves moving towards the wrong direction at the moment. All I know is that our reality is what the people are crying about. A minister will not be able to really understand that, given that they live pampered lives on the, backs of the people. And so that makes it difficult for ministers in this country, and even for most of the higher-ups to to you know, deal with the issues that the people are complaining about. It's very easy when you are living and given, you know, luxury lives to be able to be dismissive of people's struggles.
George, when you are being pampered...
Do you honestly think that ministers...
When you are being pampered, do you think about any other person in this life?
I mean, I love soft life. So if I'm living a soft life, I wouldn't care about, you know, other problems, you know.
So those are the voices of people in the Gambia. They are not happy. And it's pretty clear, George, that they feel that the government is really out of touch with what they are going through every day.
Yeah, Mimi. And of course, when the minister... is talking, you know, from a position of power. Mm-hmm. He's representing the government. Of course, he has the right to do that.
Yes, and you said that
and
before.
And that is why we invited him for, under the Baobab to just shed light on what the government is doing. But of course, fundamentally, accountability on what the people are saying.
So I try to dig deeper to find out from the minister whether he is actually listening to what the people are saying, and does he pass that message, that feedback
to
the president?
We listen to the people. I do 4 radio programs every week. We open the lines for the public to call and listen to public sentiments.
So we Mr. want minister, to make sure that... this is just a personal question. When you listen to those problems, do you tell... to you particularly, do you tell the president that these are the problems that the people are raising? Or are you just telling the president what he wants to hear?
No, of course, I take this to parliament. I take public concern to parliament, to the relevant ministers. When a farmer calls from a particular village and says, hey, we're having this issue, it's rainy season, I take it to the Minister of Agriculture and it is solved. We have to listen to the people. We want to make sure that we build policies that respond to public demand and public needs. We want to have a bottom-up approach to policymaking. We are very sensitive. We have a very empathetic president who listens to the public. And he told me categorically that I want to know what the people are saying. I want you to bridge the gap between the public and the government. So the public knows what the government is doing on a daily basis, but also we want the public, the government to know the aspirations and challenges of the people. And we take this to cabinet and discuss it and solve the public's problem. Like I said, no government in the world is able to solve all the problems of your citizens. It does
That's
not exist.
That's right,
not
Mr. even Minister, that I would agree with you that there's no perfect government in the world. But what about those who think that the president is not empathetic, that he doesn't listen? What would be your response?
Well, like I said, it's a democracy. People have their own opinions about people. What I know and what I can see and what I can attest to, and that what many Gambians can really attest to, is that we have a president who has empathy, who listens and who cares about the Gambian people, and who is driven by the desire to change the lives of ordinary Gambians. That is why he's making all these investments on youth and women, on energy, on education, on water provision, but also on healthcare.
So in every society, the civil society always acts as a safer bridge between the government and the people, especially when there is public outcry. Why is your government frustrating the activities of some rights groups, especially those who are going to the streets to protest?
I think that's not a correct statement. We have not frustrated the activities of any. I mean, civil society is freer now than ever before, and they know it. No civil society organization can come publicly and say that government have really frustrated their rights. It doesn't happen. They speak their mind. They are doing their activities and they engage with government. Most of our activities, we engage civil society. Mm. Yes, like I said, a few people came out last week.
All the civil society or you're selective?
No, we are not selective. No, I mean, I can tell you that no civil society in the Gambia today can come out and say we are frustrating their desire to call for accountability. That is why we give the young people Rick Mala a protest.
Defend.
It was a heated one with the minister.
I could see. But Mimi, let me just retract what was really concerning from the voices of Gambians that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Someone saying that President Barrow is gradually
becoming
starting to look like
James. So two administrators, two set of promises, but the people are still feeling let down. They are feeling like nothing is happening to change their situation.
But I'm sure their fear is they don't want to get back into where they came from, the 22 years of dictatorship. That is something I'm sure most Gambians are dreadful of.
And I had to ask the minister, do you think that the people will want to now re-embrace Jame? You know? The devil, you know.
It's better than the angel.
You don't know.
The president did not personally say that he would leave office after 3 years. This was a coalition promise. The president was part of a coalition. A coalition came up with a mandate and sold to the government people an agenda. To say, as a coalition, if we win the election, the coalition will govern for 3 years. But immediately after election, the coalition splintered. So the coalition's word or their promise could not be held accountable. We cannot hold accountable the president personally for what the coalition promised. The coalition could not hold together after election. And the president cannot abandon the mandate that was given to him as an independent candidate by saying that I'm going to resign and leave the country in tatters. The country was on a path, on a very difficult transition. We need legal reforms. The TRRC was on. The Janet Commission was on. The president cannot abandon ship. He had to stay and maintain and complete the transition. So he cannot be held, hold the president responsible for a promise made by a coalition.
So, Mr. Minister, we talked about so many decades of dictatorship before President Adama Barrow came to power. But now, when we speak to the Gambians on the street, they are afraid that President Barrow is another Jammeh in the making. What would be your response?
Even you yourself, you are not Gambian. I know you would not even believe that.
Yeah, but we have possibilities of getting reactions on the ground. We have that possibility.
Reactions of one or two people with a political agenda. I don't think their views really should be seen as the views of every Gambian. Every Gambian knows that President Barrow is the most peaceful president the country has had. In fact, winning the prize of the most peaceful president in the continent recently. He's a Democrat. Every day, the amount of insults and the amount of foul word the president receives from some quarters of the public, particularly the opposition, and they go home to sleep and nothing comes out of it, shows that he's a very tolerant man, very tolerant man. He would never be a dictator, and he doesn't have those tendencies. He doesn't have that temperament or that comportment. So that is not even possible.
So Yahya Jammeh, the former president, has declared his intentions to run again. How is your government reacting to this news?
We are not reacting to that. Yahya Jammeh is gone and gone forever. If he sits in Equatorial Guinea and says things, that is a fiction, that is a figment of his imagination. I don't think it's worthy of our response, because if we respond, we'll be really making his statements very relevant that we don't want to do.
But how worried are you that he may come back and be popular than when he left the country? He left the country when there were a lot of frustrations, disappointments. But now, people are so disappointed that it might work in favor of former President Yahya Jammeh. Don't you think that people might say, oh, the devil we knew is better than the angel that we don't seem to know?
But I can tell you that Gambians are happy with the president and they are ready to vote for him in 2026. And they've declared him as their president for 2026, and they'll vote for him and he will win. That I can tell you. And that anything else for me is just fiction.
Yahya Jammeh has nothing to do with Barrow and they have nothing in common. That's what you are saying.
No, Jammeh is history. Every Gambian knows that. The TRRC revelations and the Janet Commission revelations has shown the damage he has done to this country. I don't think any Gambian in his sense, who is sane, who is in his right senses, will accommodate and even talk about Yahya Jammeh anymore.
So when the minister continues to pamper the president and the debate continues to be heated, what do we do, George?
Normally, we step back into the shed of wisdom and throw some quick questions, lighthearted questions to ease the mood. Let's jump into this rapid-fire question segment.
Politics or football?
Football.
Messi or Ronaldo?
Ronaldo.
Gambia's next big football star?
Minte.
Things you do to unwind?
Play football.
When did you last admit you were wrong?
Last month, I think. I can't remember.
What was it about?
I can't remember. In most cases, when I'm wrong, I admit I'm wrong. So it happens quite a few times. So I can't remember specifically when, but I normally admit when I'm wrong.
Okay, regret ever summoning a journalist?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay, one word to describe Dr. Ismaili Cisse.
Open-minded, disciplined, patriotic.
It was one word. Okay, loyalty or principle?
Principle.
Public apology or private correction?
Public apology.
Resign or defend?
Defend.
George, you have the impression that when the minister is not defending Barrow,
yes,
he's playing football, watching football somewhere. Minister.
But I mean, he could be playing football, but with big boys somewhere in a club.
Because his level is high up there.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Yeah.
So, you see, he's very, very outspoken about the policies of Adama Barrow. And this is a minister, you wouldn't believe, several years back, he was even describing Barrow as clueless. He was a strong critic of President Barrow.
I remember those days, Mimi, a very vibrant young Cisse Ismail saying this government is actually clueless. And he was even someone at some point by the government, by the administration, thinking that he was so vibrant and critical of the government.
Right. So the question is, why is it that people tend to criticize a lot when they are not in power? And then when they are part of a government, they will defend with their last energy. So I ask Mr. Cisse, what is the difference, in fact, what he feels now, having criticized the government before and being part of the government today, how he feels as an individual, and whether he has ever regretted being part of the Barrow government?
In 2018, the coalition had just come to power. And my assessment of the situation at that time was that the coalition, some of the things they were doing, I thought they were clueless at that time. I did not specifically mention Barrow as being clueless. Mm-hmm. I said the coalition, some of the actions that they took at that time, seemed to me that they had no clue about what they were doing. That assessment has changed. The President Barrow has come up to do a lot of good things for the country. So that assessment has changed. That was an assessment that was 8 years ago. So rightly so, as a political analyst at that time, I did an assessment of the situation and I made my assessments known to the public. That has nothing to do with the young people now who are demanding things that are already being provided for by the government. I mean, if young people are demanding for something that the government is not doing, I would support their claims. But everything they are demanding is these are something that we're already doing as a government.
So because 2018 was just about 1 year after the Barrow government came in, and he was the face of that coalition. And in the midst of that, at this point in time, you already told me earlier that the government needs some time, that it's too early because it took so many years for the Gambia to get out of decades of dictatorship. So 1 year, I think it was not enough for you to have been so critical of the government. So that's why I was asking
having an assessment about a situation as a political analyst is different from me being going to the streets. I never went to the streets to say do X, Y, Z by force. It's different. I was analyzing the situation at that time. And as a political analyst, I had to analyze, give political analysis when I give media interviews about how I think the things are going. It's different from me taking action to say, I'm giving you ultimatum. I never gave ultimatums to government to say do this, because I understood at that time that it was a transition. But nonetheless, I also reserved the right to make an assessment of the situation as an analyst.
Do you regret being part of this government at all?
Never. In fact, I will never regret it. I think since I joined government, it made me understand more, have a deeper understanding of who the president is personally, his personality, but also his vision for the country.
So would you handle things differently if you were the president of the Gambia?
I think the president is doing a very good job. So I wouldn't go into that. What I can confirm is that he's doing a fantastic job.
2026 is just around the corner, and you're so confident that President Barrow is going to win, with confidence that he deserves another term in office. But I wanted to find out from you, why do you think the people in the Gambia should vote for him? Why do you think he deserves another term in office?
Because of the work he's done so far. I mean, what he's done so far in 8 years, no government could have done it. And the people know that the president is delivering on his promises. And the president has called this year the year of delivery. He wants this that can impact people's lives. I'm confident that with all these investments and all these transformations, the people will vote for President Barrow in 2026.
Politics. Someone comes into office and says 3 years.
Yes. Politics,
and then 8 years. He wants to run again.
Yes.
Hey, George. So that's it from us today. The new Gambia still feels a lot like the old one. And people are watching closely whether Barrow goes for a third term or Gambians choose change. One thing is clear, the post-Jammeh hope is fading. And people are asking tough questions about leadership, justice and delivery.
Yeah, so has Barrow lived up to the promise? That is the critical question. Or is it time for something new? Drop your thoughts in the comment section. And if you enjoy honest African political conversations, hit subscribe button. You can find Under the Baobab on
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course, our DW Africa YouTube page. George,
yes,
the Gambians, everyone, please share this program and keep liking, share to others. My name is Mimefo Neu.
And I'm George Okachi. Many thanks for watching.